Well, I do hope that everybody has had a good week, whether you ended up staying here in Blacksburg or traveling or resting or doing something fun. Hopefully, none of you have caught what was caught in our house. This week, basically, I did have some friends staying at my house, but pretty much all of us were sick and are still sick at some point. So, I mentioned this to Sean earlier, but any sort of nasal capacity you hear coming through the microphone, that's not a sound issue. That's actually like a head issue. And so let's just look past it. But because it's been a couple weeks, I feel like, man, wouldn't it be good to kind of catch up and recall where we are? If you've been with us this semester, you know, what are we talking about? Hope. Awesome. Good. We're there. But these last kind of four-ish weeks, we've been in our informant series. And our informant series is kind of where we've been looking at the Psalms and how hope is illuminated through these Psalms, right? We talked hope engaging our praise and how we speak hope through the Psalms of praise. We've talked about engaging hope through Psalms that kind of talk about despair and in moments of uncertainty. And how we look to the Psalms in order to give us the capacity to pierce through those particular seasons and still hold on to, still cling to this hope because of Jesus. And so we are looking at how we engage the Psalms to inform us and to give us a voice and to anchor us kind of in this dual reality that, one, we're not alone in our circumstance, and two, that God is not only before us, but he is also behind us and beside us. And so the Psalms kind of lend themselves to for us to know God, and in turn, knowing who we are because of who God is. And so tonight we're going to wrap up our informant series. We're going to look at Psalms of Ascent. And over the last couple of weeks, I've heard a number of folks asking, what are those? They're not one of the seven genres that I described weeks ago. In fact, they are a grouping of psalms. Psalms, 15 of them. They're short, so not too crazy to go through. It's not like you're reading Psalm 119 over and over and over again 15 times. But right after Psalm 119, we get into Psalm 120 through 134. Okay, so those are our 15 psalms that are labeled as these psalms of ascent, and they are they begin with this ascription. That kind of signifies that that's what they are there for. So these psalms voiced truths of God, and they were sung by worshipers as they made the journey up to Jerusalem for three pilgrimage festivals each year. And so Jerusalem is a city on a hill, right? And the Israelites would kind of gather from wherever they would, and they would ascend the hill to celebrate during these festivals, to remember, and to offer themselves freshly to the Lord, hence these Psalms of Ascent. And so these three festivals, we know them to be first the Passover festival. This is where they are giving thanks for God's deliverance, delivering his people from slavery. The second festival is the festival of Pentecost, where the Israelites were giving thanks for the day that God gave the way of life through the Torah or the Mosaic Law. And then the third festival was the Feast of Tabernacles, and that's where the Israelites were giving thanks for dependence on God and for his provision in the desert wanderings, the 40 years after the Exodus that the Israelites spent wandering through these deserts. And so three times a year, they would kind of spend their journey preparing their hearts, going back to these 15 psalms in order to just spend time reflecting and getting their hearts ready in order to come into the festival to engage, to be fully present. And so the invitation ringing out in Psalm 122, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more tonight. Verse 1 says, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." This invitation resonates throughout these 15 psalms, revealing that, yes, as we've been talking about all semester long, you know, we hope for hope to be manifest in our own lives. But we also journey for hope. We journey in hope, and we journey together as God's people. So let's go to the house of the Lord together tonight, and let's pray. Our Father, we praise you. Lord, I'm so thankful for the reunion of our church. God, and just fully recognizing that not everyone is here tonight, and we miss them, Lord. But I praise you, God, for the gathering of your people. Lord, we seek you. We come to know you. And God, I pray that you would speak to us tonight. Lord, that you would be doing a work in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives that doesn't just fall on us tonight. It doesn't just settle in for these 30 minutes. But Lord, that it penetrates to a deeper layer, that your hope speaks and works out and grows in our spirits, that carries us. So we are here for you tonight, Lord. Would you speak? Amen. So these psalms or songs, as we can kind of interchangeably use it, there are 15 psalms that are synonymously called songs of steps or pilgrimage songs. And so when it's called that, it kind of gives us insight into how we're to read them, what purpose they hold as we engage our faith and seek hope by moving toward God. There's a philosopher, and anybody who's taken any sort of philosophy or psychology classes, you probably have heard of him, Friedrich Nietzsche. He called our discipleship a long obedience in the same direction. That obedience which the world does so much to discourage. And the Apostle Paul's words to continue to work out your salvation, it means that it is not generally this instant gratification pursuit, right? Which means that all the more it is imperative to our lives and to our hearts and our minds and our souls that we are a people who daily seek hope, speak hope, and live by hope. And so Eugene Peterson, the author of the Message translation, he took Nietzsche's thought and he expanded on it through the lens of the Psalms of the Ascent. And so Peterson describes Christians as both pilgrims and disciples, meaning that as pilgrims, we are purposefully journeying toward God, and we are active learners along the way. Not simply learners of knowledge, but kind of like apprentices, our learning is coupled with doing. In other places of Scripture, we see how these songs are being utilized by God's people. Looking at the beginning of Isaiah, I need to take a water here. We see the Israelites using this, and it says, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us about his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." That there is this instruction that comes from reading, and in reading, we get to know God. "For instruction will go out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." And so it's kind of this rhythm where we follow God so we may learn. And because we learn, we kind of end up following him more closely. And because we're following him more closely, inevitably, we continue to learn these deeper truths, and it just cycles through. It draws us in, and we learn, and it draws us in even more. So these songs offered words of preparation and remembrance for the Israelites, words to bolster strength and determination because of the belief that they were approaching a faithful God. That's who they were meeting during these festivals. These words would incite hope in them, both for today as well as the future. And so what they would do is kind of they would remember the past in order to speak confidence and faithfulness for what was today and what was to come. And so everyone should have a bookmark. You guys should have gotten it at the door. it kind of describes these 15 Psalms. You don't have to, you can look at it. It's fine. But everyone should have a bookmark. And this is really something that is for us to hang on to in order to use these particular Psalms the way that the Israelites had used them. Psalms that would help us get prepared to gather together. Or even just a reference for, hey, I'm kind of wrestling through seeing God as my provision. And we can approach these Psalms in a way where we see it, we recognize it, and it is called out. And also because we don't really have the time to go into all 15 of them tonight, unless you really want to. I'm not fully prepared, but we can just spend time reading it together. Good old circle time. I don't know. But really, when we look at the Psalms of Ascent, and we're going to, again, go into 122 tonight, but if we're looking at 120, they begin by stemming from a dissatisfaction and the lament of brokenness. And this dissatisfaction with the brokenness of our world is really an essential component to the pilgrim's journey. It's one of the things that compels us to pursue and to seek after God in the first place. These Psalms also recognize that there is brokenness in the world, not just that our lives have broken parts to it, but that the system of the world is broken, that it's not as it was intended to be. But they don't leave us to linger there. Because remember all the way back when we started, back in January, that we cling to hope because we are longing for peace and restoration. And so these Psalms recognize that God is working to redeem and to restore. And that's why there is movement towards Jerusalem. That's the pursuit. That there's not necessarily just a fleeing from the world, but a fleeing toward God who is working to make all things new. And we're a part of that. And this world needs us to be people who speak hope. So let's go ahead and open up to Psalm 122 to see a way that we do that. And if you have your Bible app, I'm going to actually encourage you to use that, unless you have a Message translation, because that's what we're going to be using tonight. You know, Peterson's kind of dropping some stuff. And so since he wrote the Message, let's go there. There's actually a really cool reason as to why he wrote the Message, but we can go into that another time. So if you don't have the Bible app or the Message translation, it's going to be up behind me, so we can just read along together. All right, starting in verse 1. It says, when they said, let's go to the house of God, my heart leaped for joy, and now we're here. O Jerusalem, inside Jerusalem's walls, Jerusalem, a well-built city, built as a place for worship. The city to which the tribes ascend, all God's tribes go up to worship, to give thanks to the name of God. This is what it means to be Israel. Thrones for righteous judgment are set here, famous David thrones. Pray for Jerusalem's peace. Prosperity to all you Jerusalem lovers. Friendly insiders, get along. Hostile outsiders, keep your distance. For the sake of my family and friends, I say it again, live in peace. For the sake of the house of our God, God, I will do my very best for you. When they said, let's go to the house of God, my heart leaped for joy. Here we're getting a genuine sense of the psalmist's joy, a true excitement to be connected with others, to do the thing that is most natural to us, to worship. Because when you think of a church gathering together, right, what's one of the first things that you think of when we come together? We worship. We sing songs, we read scripture, all that kind of stuff. We worship. And so worship in itself is meant to be a benchmark of the life of a follower of Jesus. And now we're here. O Jerusalem, inside Jerusalem's walls, Jerusalem, well-built city, built as a place for worship. The city to which the tribes ascend, all God's tribes go up to worship. So I want all of us in here just to think about that moment when you arrived here in Blacksburg or at Virginia Tech. Kind of get back to that place when you finally have reached your destination. I imagine that pretty soon after you kind of set foot on the land, that you paused to take it all in. And I think, sure, you admired the view. I mean, it's a pretty incredible school. Beautiful architecture, beautiful nature all around us. But I also imagine that you were flooded with reasons as to why you journeyed here in the first place. All the work that went into it, all the trust that you were putting into this kind of hope that the arrival of being here would be worth it. And then after you kind of spent some time reflecting on that, thinking about that, even if just for a moment, you probably, whether subconsciously or consciously, invited the destination to change you, hoping that you would leave differently than when you came. And so here we could say that the church is like Jerusalem, and that as you are present in this place, we pray and hope and seek that we are all met with the realities that God created you, and that he redeemed you, and that God provided for you. Because this is why we gather to worship, to allow God's truths just to work their way through our knowing and our understanding in order that then they can be moved out in our lives. And not only that, the psalmist says that all of God's tribes come together for worship. We come together from all different backgrounds and experiences together as a single whole. And so the psalmist points out that whatever differences are among us, they are insignificant compared to the unity of what God builds in this act of worship. And so he says that all God's tribes go up to worship to give thanks to the name of God. And this is what it means to be Israel. Returning to worship nurtures our need for our relationship with God. That if we are met with the reality that God made us and redeems us and provides for us, then the natural and honest thing that we would do would be to express gratitude and worship to him. And so Peterson suggests that when we praise, we are functioning at the center. That we are in touch with the basic and core reality of our being. To be God's people is to be worshipers. And then he goes on to say that thrones for righteous judgment are set there. Famous David thrones. And so this kind of gets into a little bit more of the history of the Israelites that we're not going to be going into tonight. But when it comes to worship, we gather, and it's also an acknowledgement of God's decisions. That what his judgment is about is the moving of this world towards holiness and setting things right. And this includes motions of love and mercy as well as nullifying evil. And so in worship, we focus on the word. We focus on the work of God to restore goodness in the world. And that cultivates our hope. And then he finishes up and he says, pray for Jerusalem's peace. Prosperity to all you Jerusalem lovers. Friendly insiders, get along. Hostile outsiders, keep your distance. For the sake of my family and friends, I say it again, live in peace. For the sake of the house of our God, God, I'll do my very best for you. That we are urged to seek peace within the church. This psalm kind of calls us to be people who are concerned for the well-being of our brothers and sisters in faith. That we would be a people who seek out, who call out, who be about the very best of the church and all that Christ had established it for. And so we only know what the church's presence looks like in his vision of it when we pursue the things that the festivals were talking about. The remembrance, the celebration. We do this individually. And especially we're doing this together. that we're taking time to worship and to pray, to give thanks to God, to read the scriptures together, and to reflect on what all of that does in our lives and how that looks like lived out in this place, in Blacksburg, at Virginia Tech, for what's beyond. And so with that, we look at the presence, but we also anticipate what the psalm is calling us to do, is to anticipate the joy of our arrival. That when we enter into the place in which God dwells, this voice is hope, and that these words invite us to imagine and to keep that end goal in mind, the end of the finish line. And the hope is that we would be present and worshiping together. And that becomes more of a reality when we're willing to speak hope and the truth that reminds us and our friends and our neighbors and the church at large that we are all moving the same way. This informs the confidence that we have because of the faithfulness of the promise that's set before us. The Christian life is a climb towards Zion, or Jerusalem, as it talks about in the Old Testament, a climb towards the New Jerusalem, as it talks about in the New Testament, but ultimately the climb towards God. That is where our lives are moving toward. The Christian life is a journey of constant growth and sacrifice and trusting God for what we can't see. And this is why we cling to biblical hope. The growing trust. Growing. This happens over time. It's not instantaneous, but it grows as we walk with God and as we experience Him in the events of our lives. This biblical hope being the growing trust that God will respond to the situations in my life and throughout the world exactly as He said He would, without exception and without fail, right? And doing this is meant to be done together because we all encounter difficulty in our lives. And I think kind of that reality has been pretty clear since we started talking about hope in January. But we don't always meet difficulty at the same point. Thank the Lord for that. And so our faith is communal. And while we journey personally, we are not meant to journey individually. Okay? We aren't just seeking to learn how to voice hope for this current season that we're in, but we are asking God to be the informant through the Psalms to give our hope a voice for the long road. This is the Christian life, that we lean in together and we continue to press on. One of the things that I practice over the course of my relationship with the Lord is, I feel like it's a little bit not quite here, but to spend some time just practicing writing out psalms of my own, especially in seasons where I have felt been going through uncertainty or desperation or grief, I have just asked God, pleaded with Him at times to reveal where He is at in a present circumstance. And the reason why I feel like I can do that is because I trust that He will reveal Himself. Why? Because I've seen Him be faithful in the past. And so over time, I've accumulated kind of this grouping of moments, specific ways that I have seen the God of the universe come and meet me and specifically walk and be present in different times of my life. And then they become a resource for me. Kind of this place that I can go back to in acts of remembrance, place that will equip me and inform me then to be able to trust the uncertainty of what's ahead. And with that, I'm able to just offer these truths. You know, we kind of read in Scripture who God is and what He's about. And if we haven't experienced it for ourselves, we kind of think, okay, I see it, but I don't know that I necessarily get it. And so when we are choosing to speak hope into people's lives, what we are doing is we are also informing them the reality of who God is for us. Not just keeping it for ourselves, but doing it together. And so what I want to just encourage us to do, and especially if this isn't like a particularly familiar practice, I know that some folks aren't like, oh, I get really introspective with my feelings and thoughts and da-da-da, and that's totally fine. And some of us do that more often, but what I want to encourage all of us to do is just to spend some time this week writing a psalm. It can be short, it can be sweet, it can be lengthy, and it can be grounded really in a particular season of life, maybe that you're currently in, or something of the past, or it could be just completely broad in how you're seeing God. But really to spend some time this week reflecting on, okay, God, I want to proclaim, I want to remember, I want to celebrate, I want to declare. And then from that, and probably here's more of the clincher in this, to speak purposefully into somebody. Not just from, well, this is my experience, and so I want to kind of put my experience on you, but because of my experience, this is who I have seen God to be. Speak purposefully into somebody that they might journey closer with God that day. So I've offered a couple ways to get started, some questions that perhaps might help you just get the wheels turning a little bit. What do the scriptures say about God's attributes? Who is he? What does that mean? How do you see his creativity around you? Maybe in the works of nature, the works of art, literature, movies, whatever. The works of people and personalities and celebrating that. Where have you experienced God's faithfulness? Taking time to just settle in and affirm and say, God, you were present here. You were faithful here. You brought me through. Where is God restored? What is God restored in your life? Thanking him for that. In what areas of your life do you long to see him? Perhaps you're feeling unfulfilled in areas, and you just need to voice that, or just to give reason for why he's praiseworthy. So we're going to go ahead and pray, and this prayer I've written to kind of give example for what a psalm would look like. And I've included all of these, and a psalm doesn't have to include all of them, but to just kind of enter us into that space together. So would you guys pray? Father, Lord, you are set above. And yet, you are relational and near. Our Father, you are holy, and you hold all of creation in your hand. You created the seasons, and they remind us, as crazy as they can be sometimes here in Blacksburg, they remind us that there is a time that we need to rest and remain dormant in order that new and fresh and beautiful life might emerge. Thank you for your faithfulness and remaining constant, that even though the things of the life whirl around us, you, God, are steadfast. You are restoring how our eyes see, giving us the ability to see your hope working in and around us. Our Father, we long to see your presence in the difficult places. And over all, we praise you, for you have brought us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. Amen.